Test, test.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hi, Dixie.
Come in, find a seat. This is going to be an amazing evening.
Let's try this again. Hello, 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 hello.
Oh, I just can keep on going. Like, I was a mom too many years to... I can just keep on talking. So... I have a couple of things to open up with. Joy Conference is in March.
Woo!
Yes. Joy Conference is in March. I know you're a hype guy. Everyone needs a hype person. It's kind of fun. So who's all registered? Does that put you on the spot? Who wants to register and hasn't had the time or taken the opportunity to? Joy Conference. Yeah. So I would just highly encourage you, if you've already registered, share the passion and excitement and why you've registered with three people this week. There is, we are continuing to believe and stand for the right people to be in the room. There are people who need to be at Joy Conference, and God has stuff to fill them up with. And so, including ourselves, we get to get filled up, and we get to pour out. And so, if you have already registered and you happen to register as a volunteer, I think that's amazing. You might have gotten a volunteer form. If you didn't, reach out to the office or email Revive. Emma can help us. And if you registered and thought, I'm going to volunteer, I would like you to volunteer. It's an incredible opportunity because what is going on here in each one of us, I mean, I think we can all shake our head and say, the thing that's going on here has got to be released. I don't know if everyone did the same activations in groups, but our activation was a releasing. And there is such a powerful thing when we release. So you guys have been building, continuing to steward the presence. It's time to release. And Joy Conference is an incredible opportunity to be a releaser of those things. So, and as a Joy Conference volunteer, we have a rally on the Saturday before. So if you're volunteering, which is the 26th of February.
Yeah.
Yes, it's on a Saturday morning from 9 to noon. So you should also, if you can, make plans to come. The childcare will be provided, possibly some fun food. Christy and I were talking today about some fun plans. Anyway, so you can eat breakfast with us and... come, and you'll also be equipped in the area that you might have chosen to serve in. So if some of this will be familiar, and if it's not familiar, it's that form that I referred to earlier. So if you said, I want to serve coffee, then Christy's going to equip you on how to make coffee and stuff like that during that morning. So it's training. It's fun. It's going to be a fun event. It's community. It's good stuff. So make plans to attend the rally as well.
So good. Y'all give it up for Dixie.
She's literally the best. Hey, I've missed you guys. Been downstairs blasting the first years with some identity. It's so good. And I said that you're good now. I'm going to leave you with somebody else. No, they're doing some cool stuff down there. a couple things. Joy Conference-wise, let's practice something, okay? Let's all work on your resting faces for joy. Right? We're talking about the Joy Conference, not the I'm stuck in my stuff conference. So there we go. There we go. There we go. I see some smiles. Awesome. Okay, there we go. Hey, but the Joy Conference is a big deal. And one of my favorite things about the Joy Conference is the prophetic sessions that happen on Saturday. So this year we've got two of them, 12:30 to 2:30 and 5 to 6:30. Thank you. And guess what? We would like all of you to be a part of that. Not just to receive a word, but to give a word. How many is that? Does that freak you out? A couple. Okay. How many of you would say, I love being an encourager? Awesome. You're prophetic. And I say that and not really joking, but serious. But I want you guys to understand the gravity of this, and not because of fear, but because of what you get to release in somebody's life. The prophetic, honestly, if you're an encourager, if you can say, hey, I believe, or just even as simple as this, you're beautiful. Like, that could be the simplest word for somebody that unlocks them and gets to receive the Father's love. And so I want to read a couple things as I've been just pressing in with the Lord recently. It's out of Numbers 11. I just thought this was really interesting. I'm reading through the Bible, and I think I told you guys that, and I've just been getting stuck in parts of Scripture. And this one stood out to me today. It's Numbers 11. You could start in verse 24, but I'll probably start halfway through verse 25. But what's happening is Moses, obviously, is, you know, if you go through Leviticus and Numbers, he's getting a lot of instruction from the Lord. And you get to chapter 11 in Numbers, and the Lord tells Moses to appoint some elders. And he appoints 70 people of the Israelites. What it says is he's going to impart on them part of the Holy Spirit filling that Moses has. And it's interesting because I caught this today, and I don't, and this is important because we live in a new and better covenant, right? Okay, but here, I want you to, verse 25, Numbers 11. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. As soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. The second part's interesting. But they did not continue doing it. They were given the gift of prophecy, a portion, right? It says part of what Moses had was rested on them, but yet they could still prophesy. Then it says, now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. I probably said those wrong, but we're going to keep going. And the Spirit rested on them. So they weren't even in the tent meeting. They were in the camp, but the Spirit still fell on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. They prophesied in the camp. And if you keep reading, Joshua gets frustrated. We love Joshua, right? Joshua 1:9. He gets upset out of jealousy because they're prophesying. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my Lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? What that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Moses' desire, and Pastor Tim said this on Sunday, Moses' desire that all the people of Israel were prophets. We're in a new and better covenant, right? We don't get a portion of somebody else's anointing. We get the Holy Spirit fullness inside of us, right? I think it's interesting that they all got the gift of prophecy, then they stopped. You all have the gift of prophecy, whether you know it or not. My encouragement to you is don't stop. Don't stop encouraging. Don't stop lifting up, because the prophetic is supposed to encourage, strengthen, and edify. Okay? I'll tell you this cool story. And we're going to break a couple things off. Sorry, Tim. I'll get to you in just a second. But, sorry. You guys can play if you guys want to give a little background. Yeah, yeah. Some diddle diddle. That'd be great. I got in trouble for saying that downstairs, so we'll just keep it up here. When I was in second year at Bethel, one of the things they have you do is you are the prophetic team for every conference. So if you went out to Bethel right now and for a conference, whether it was Leaders Advance, whether it was School of the Prophets, I mean, name any of their conferences, and you sign up for a prophetic time, you are being prophesied over by a second-year student. And I remember the first time walking into this room and sitting with my partner and like, oh, gosh, what if I don't get anything? Oh, gosh, like, I know I hear the voice of the Lord, but what happens if, like, I'm stumped? And I remember somebody said, trust the voice of the Lord, be obedient, and he'll do the rest. There's nothing that you have to muster up in this but trust. And this is how crazy it is. I remember sitting across from somebody, and the picture I got was Toy Story. And I was like, okay, my name's Andy, Toy Story, like on the foot of the toys. Like, this is where my mind's going, right? But when you're in these moments, and if you get something from the Lord, if it's the craziest thing you've ever thought, it's probably the Holy Spirit. So be obedient. So I'm like, hey, does the movie Toy Story mean anything to you? And he's like, I don't know. He goes, I feel like you're kind of like this Buzz Lightyear. You're kind of figuring out your space. You're not really sure. But what's interesting is you've been imprinted on by the master for a purpose for his people. And then guy just started crying and weeping. And he was like, I literally came here hoping that God would speak to me about my purpose and the plan he has for me. Toy Story. Like, what? And I've got so many other cool stories like that. But it all came from just, okay, God, I know in this moment that your word does not return void or empty, but I'm going to trust it because I know that you care for the person across from me more than I could ever care for them. And you want to speak to them. And so I am the vessel that you've put in this moment at this time to speak a word. And don't feel like you've got to say lots of words. Actually, some of the best prophetic words are actually the less words you speak, because the more you speak, sometimes it falls into your flesh. The less you speak, it's probably more the Holy Spirit than he can fill in the gaps. And I just say this because I want to encourage you, because for the Joy Conference and the prophetic sessions, our hope is that you all would sign up. You won't be alone. You'll be with a partner, a couple partners. And so we're going to have a sign-up sheet afterwards. And my encouragement to sign up. But before we do that, if that makes you nervous, or maybe you've got a little bit of like, oh, I don't know if that's for me, or just even just the giving somebody a prophetic word, like, we just raise your hand. Like we said it earlier, if that makes you a little bit nervous prophesying over somebody that you don't know, a stranger, yeah, let's go ahead and stand up. Yeah, be bold. Come on, let's be bold. You're in second year. If that's you, and it's kind of, even if I'm like, hey, come up and get the mic and give me a prophetic word right now. Yeah, that'd make you nervous. Okay, good. Go ahead and stand up. That's awesome. I love it that Paul, like, calls out the prophetic in the New Testament. The desire is that everybody could prophesy. Desire the gifts. Desire prophecy. Because the body of Christ needs what you carry for the season that you're speaking the word. So, Father, I just thank you for the hearts and minds of these people that are standing up in boldness. I pray for great grace and courage over them, Father, because they hear your voice. They hear your voice. And I pray is that they start to get words, whether in the day or the night, in dreams, in visions, that they will start to hear clearly how much you love somebody else, how much you want to encourage them. And I pray as they step in obedience, Father, you will give them more confidence, more courage, more bravery to release the word you have for people so they may be filled up and sent out. Yes, Jesus. And we thank you that even as standing up is just a sign of that, hey, God, I want more. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want more of just even the gift of prophecy to encourage. So we thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray, amen. Okay, well, if you just sat down because I had you stand up, you can stand back up. Everybody can stand up this time. Hey, we've got another special opportunity to hear from our pastor, Pastor Tim. Oh, wait, we're going straight to worship? Oh, perfect, go ahead and stand up. Put your hands out. We're going to step into worship tonight on the fly. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you that we don't have to wait for a cloud to descend on our tent of worship. But Father, you continually descend upon our hearts day and night. That as we step into worship, that your presence fills our hearts like never before. That it doesn't just become just another worship set or another just regular Tuesday night, but we encounter you because you're worth encountering. May we step into the presence of God every time with awe and wonder for your goodness. No matter what's going on in our circumstances or in our lives, that we know that you're a good God, that you're a loving Father. And you have the best design for me. So may we lift up our voices in praise and thanksgiving Because you are so, so, so worth it. Amen. Hey, so there's a really sweet presence of God in here tonight. And this is, tonight's going to be a little different. I'm just going to co-teach with Andy, even though Andy's already done. And partner with what the Holy Spirit's already doing. One of my favorite things that I've learned in the prophetic is how simple it is. How simple it is. It's not this overcomplicated high priest. This is the believer's right to hear the Holy Spirit for yourself. And he loves for you to hear the Holy Spirit for somebody else. And I remember one of the first times that I ever did a prophetic, like you guys are going to go do, everybody in here is going to get the opportunity to go be a part of a prophetic team. And I remember the first time I did that, I was on staff here, it's 2016, and I was with some Bethel students, and they said, you know, I was feeling like pretty high five the Holy Spirit because every person that sat down, God gave me a word. And so afterwards, we were debriefing a little bit, and one of the students said, I'm just curious, why did you stop at one? I was like, well, I had a word for everybody. I mean, I'm pretty new to this. I had a word for everybody. He said, yeah, but why did you stop at one? And I was like, well, I don't understand the question. Like, are you missing the high five moment? I had a word for everybody. The Holy Spirit used me. And he said, you do understand that that God's thoughts towards each of us are more than the sand in the sea,
right,
more than the stars in the sky. This isn't a hard thing to do. And if we're satisfied with just a little bit look, we partnered and that's evidence that I hear God's voice, we'll miss all the things God wants to do. And so for me, it just made it, oh my gosh, this is so simple. It's like, Holy Spirit, this is what you want to do. This is what you want to do in my marriage. This is what you want to do in my kids. This is what you want to do in our church. Not just on Joy Conference weekend. Not just when there's a moment in service. But you want to do this at all times. You want to do this when I'm sitting down at IHOP and the waitress. You want to do this at all times. And it's not just one word that you have. It's not hard to catch the Holy Spirit. And so, you got a revelation from God because it made it not about you and all about him. It took what was hard in the religious and made it so simple in your relationship with God. And so tonight we're just going to, like, during this time, and you guys just keep playing. I don't know if you guys, somebody might get them stools tonight. It's going to be one of those nights. But Sherry Shumway, will you come up here? Sherry Shumway, you're the next winner and the prophetic is right. Anybody know Sherry Shumway? Can I give you a hug? Here's what we're doing. We just make it personal. And this is important, not just for when you're sitting in a group and someone's scheduled a prophetic time, but someone comes to you and they have an issue in their family. You need to stop and steady yourself, even before you've heard their prayer request, or even as they're spinning 100 miles an hour. And you just need to stop and you say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying right now about this situation? What are you saying right now? So, Sherry, you get to be a lightning rod, okay? You get to be, this is going to be awesome because you're going to hear God's voice for you tonight. But we get to be the ones that carry it and the ones. So I just want you guys to close your eyes. And I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying about Sherry? Let me just catch one of those pieces of sand. Let me just catch one of those stars, one of those thoughts. This room is full of his thoughts and his love towards her. Thank you, God. 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 Yes. And here's what's cool. If anybody got anything, just raise your hand if you got something. Just first of all, let's just let this be a testimony. Just look around. Look at how many people stood. How many of you guys, raise your other hand if you stood for prayer to hear the prophetic for somebody else. Do you see how good this is? Do you see how good this is? Okay, Dev, will you help me? You're just going to run. And
Here's the only instruction you have. Just say what you heard God say. Don't interpret it. Because here's what's cool. Sherry's got the Holy Spirit. Do you guys hear this? Let the Holy Spirit be your interpreter. You just say, God showed me this. God, I have this. And so Dev's going to run you the mic, and we're just going to, Chris, you may need to turn that one up.
He's fulfilling his promises over your life.
Amen. Good job, Claire.
I saw him taking like this blindfold off of you, and you were standing in front of a mirror, and it was like you were seeing yourself in a new light.
Your red hair is covering your head and your mind. You have the mind of Christ. You love passionately.
I saw a sweater that's black, and it has strawberries on it, and the strawberries were very bright against the black.
Hold on one sec. Say that again. You saw a sweater was black with bright strawberries.
With red strawberries, like the darkness, and then so it was just a black sweater with bright red strawberries on it.
I saw his eyes like flames of fire just burning with love for you.
So good. He told me you're a carrier of his grace and mercy.
I heard him say that you are chained and bound to hope.
Sherry, you have a powerful voice. You have a powerful Holy Spirit inside of you, and he is increasing your circle of influence.
The sky's the limit, and there's, he's just said, keep dreaming big. He's got so much for you.
I heard the word sweet, and it is that the Lord loves the sweetness of your heart. So good.
Sherry, you are a light that bursts into the darkness, and the darkness is gone.
I saw a star come down and light on you, and he said that you are his light.
I felt like he said that he loves your excitement for him.
He said he has already given you the crown of victors.
I heard the word brilliant, and then I saw your smile, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying your joy, the love and joy of the Holy Spirit comes through your smile to others.
Anybody not get to share? I was going to say, you don't get to get out of this activation. Oh, wait, you have a microphone. Did she say? It. Come on. Did any of those immediately stand out to you as like meaningful? I mean, obviously, I don't want to, but were any of them like stand out to you?
The one about my having a powerful voice. Yeah, that really ministered to me. All of them did, actually. All of them did.
It's good.
And about the breakthrough. I just got a notice that Spirit wants me to start working for them Friday. I just have to get all my onboarding papers.
Come on. That's awesome. Isn't that cool? So you got, now, how many people are just like, I got to partner with the Holy Spirit? This is what the prophet, this is like the best part of Joy Conference. This is the stuff that, but here's the cool thing is this isn't, we've got to quit waiting for this to happen when you're invited to by somebody who's organized something. This gets to be our everyday. It's incredible. Emily, come up here. Some of you guys are like, you've been asking God for a word. You've been asking God to be highlighted, and he's going to do it tonight. It's powerful. It's powerful. All right, so let's just do it again. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, and it's okay if God shows you more than one thing. Just say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? So easy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. You okay with being a lightning rod? Come on. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Who's got something? Raise your hand. Thank you, Dev. You guys appreciate Dev?
I saw you standing on this bubble, and I could just feel an overwhelming amount of anxiety. And then I saw him, like, just reaching out to you, and you grabbing his hand, and, like, him just taking you and, like, placing you on the rock that he's standing on.
Earlier you were asking about seeing visions. So when you're doing your next client, I can already see you, like, looking up, and you can see visions already. You just got to activate that. You can't let fear get in your way of doing that, okay? It might sound weird, but you got to go for it, okay? I can already see it.
I heard Psalm 23, my cup overflows.
I saw the earth and then the stars and the universe, and the Lord just said, I hold all this together, but I still hold and know her heart. And then just like the stars, then the verse of my thoughts of you were like grains of sand. So.
I don't know you, but and I rarely get pictures in my mind, but I saw a little girl on a swing, just swinging her heart out, and freedom is what was all about. And I saw the setting of a park and the sun coming through the trees and just lighting up the freedom that you were swinging in, and I just feel like it's coming.
I saw that when you lay your hands on someone, just rest on their shoulders or whatever, that you have the ability to just release peace and cause people to just relax when they're uptight or struggling with something.
Emily, I heard the verse 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's got big plans for you, and what you're doing is not in vain. Like, he has you right where he wants you.
You were on a stage and a huge spotlight. Everything was dark, but the spotlight came on you. It was so bright, and it continued to grow brighter until you were just covered head to toe with the glory of God. And it was like a beautiful gown. It was like dancing fire.
Emily, the Lord says that do not let your past circumstances or experience limit where I want to take you, because it has no bearing. God does not have, that has no bearing over where God can take you.
The moment you stood up here, that you were a little timid about prophesying over people, he said to tell you that you are Emily, the excellent encourager, and to trust him.
That's a confirmation. I had the same thing of being an encourager, that you just encourage, I don't know you really, but you just encourage your people around you and your friends, and I don't know.
Hey, Emily, I heard the word lightning, so it was bright light,
and the energy. So where you are, the things are changing. It doesn't stay the same.
I felt the Lord say that he sees the hunger in your heart and he will fill it.
Emily, you're a restorer, and you bring hope into those that you are with.
I immediately heard the word release. He wants you to release something to him that maybe you're holding on to, and because he wants to take it all. He wants to take everything that might be a concern to you. So the word was release.
And Emily, I heard two words, and Chris confirmed it. All I heard was, it's coming.
So you've heard bright a couple times. So I heard he has given you bright eyes to see the small things.
I saw you as a little girl with big, big dreams. And I believe I heard the Lord say, well, somebody said that the Lord has big dreams for you, and so I believe breakthrough is coming. And I asked him for a verse. Sorry, I just put my phone away. And it is, I heard him say, it's Psalm 51:7. It says, "Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." So I don't know. I know you do facials and stuff. I don't know if hyssop might be an oil that you use or maybe something that you should use. I don't know. So
I saw a yellow Care Bear skipping, and everything the yellow Care Bear touched turned to diamonds.
Just as Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, I heard the Lord say he's strengthening your stature in him.
I seen.
Come on, Dev.
I see the lover of God upon you, and I seen God just holding you tight.
It's good. You know, what I felt like God was showing me is your family story has shifted, and you're the chapter mark in that. Like the old, it's not just your story. It's not, you know, we all have our old man passes away, and we but your whole family's story has changed, and it's marked on what you're allowing God to do in your life and what God will do in your life. And it will, the story of your family, of your lineage, will be totally different from here forward.
Real quick, how many of you, I know we just gave a bunch of words, but I'm just curious, I felt like the Lord was prompting me on this. How many of you felt like you got a vision or a numbers and you didn't quite understand what it was and you didn't want to share it? Claire, what'd you have? Trampoline. Does a trampoline mean anything to you? Okay. What did you say, Kim? Did you say you had one? To rest. Anybody get any numbers? Like just random numbers that popped in your head? Because I want you guys to be thinking, like, even the picture trampoline, like, just press into those. Like, it might sound weird and crazy, but just when you get those, just start asking the Lord, okay, what does this mean? But it's okay, trampoline. Oh man, I enjoy jumping on a trampoline. Kids love jumping on a trampoline. Like, God loves it when you're childlike. I mean, like, it maybe that's what it is. I'm just saying, and even numbers, I would just, like, don't just limit it to, you know, because God speaks in many different ways. Nature, we talk about it when kids all the time, like, nature, words, numbers. And so, even if it seems like the most outlandish, weirdest thing, it'd be crazy to think that, like, if God put that in you and you didn't release it, and yet it was meant for somebody.
Right.
Right. And so just don't be afraid of it. And so especially numbers, because you're like, oh, who knows? You could say, like, 7593 and be like, her birthday. Was it really? What was it? Well, that's pretty dang close. So just take that as the Lord. But yes.
And Steph, you can share it. But well, I release you from having to understand the oracles of God.
Yeah, there you go. That's
good. Like, that's not who we are. Right. He will reveal to us mysteries, but your word trampoline goes perfectly with the Care Bear. And here's the other thing. She may be in a place 2 months from now where she's crying out to God, just give me a sign, and there's a trampoline in the moment where she's walking, and everything clicks because God isn't a respecter of time.
Yeah, that's good, Tim.
And so we've got to just release it and move on. We are not God. We don't have to make sure, hey, like, this person has given you permission to speak into their life. Just say what you've heard God and let God do everything else. All he needs is that little arrow. He needs just you to speak out that one little thing. Rest. Maybe the key to unlocking so much of what she's desiring, and she's saying, God, when's this? When's this? When's this? And man, you know what? Yeah, I've forgotten to rest. So that one word which seems simple, maybe it's too simple to represent our complex God. No, he is so simple that a child can understand it. And so I think that while there is an interpretation gift, we have to be careful not to think, God, I don't understand it, and so I won't speak it because I might seem foolish. Dare to be foolish in front of God so that he can use you.
Yeah.
In your weakness, he'll make his strength evident. And guess what? You'll be like, I got to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Maybe the most profound thing that was said tonight, Andy pulled a little deeper and was those words, rest, trampoline, whatever it is. And so, well, just, did any of that stand out, like, profound to you?
All of it. But the swing and just freedom, and what Steph said, and honestly, yeah, all of it.
Steph, do you have that? Here you go. We're recording this, so we are recording this, right? Yeah. Oh, that would be a shame if we didn't.
Well, it's kind of a question about what Andy said about, like, what's the picture or number? Like, did you say, oh, no, that's not it? So the first two pictures I got were things that I think either have been prayed or spoken over her. I don't remember if it was by me or someone around me or something that, like, a dream she had once. So, like I didn't know whether. I'm like, well, no, Lord, she probably already knows that or heard that. So then I was like, what else do you have? So then would you recommend still sharing it? I mean, like, first I saw Rainbow Bright. And I, have you? Yeah, just like a Care Bear. Are they friends? Oh.
Are they friends? In the 90s, they're all friends.
Yeah. Like. Well, so I saw Rainbow Bright, and then I saw Lemon Tree. And, like, as I was just praying for the Lord's heart for her, like, as someone who maybe knows her a little more than someone who doesn't, it's like, okay, Lord, well, what of this do I share? And do I share these things? Maybe he wants you to remember whatever those were when, or, you know, the next thing. So I shared the next thing, but then Andy saying that made me be like, well, maybe I need to be obedient and still show her what I saw, even though it may be stirring something from before. So
good. I think it comes back to obedience first and foremost. And so you having that, and this is where, like, when you start to really practice with the Lord and take risks, you'll start to interpret and hear his voice better every time. And so for you to be like, oh, that's not what I feel like, you didn't feel the Lord on it, or didn't feel like that's where you start to really start to walk step in step with the Holy Spirit. And so, but I would say as you're, like, stepping out and learning, man, I would be quick to say the first thing. Like, I really would, because I feel like that's just how, at least that's how I've experienced God. I'm just telling you my experience. And the moments where I have done that, like, it's been really powerful. At the same time, if you feel the Holy Spirit on something that she's been given a word, maybe it's a reminder. Maybe it's an opportunity to remind her of the things that have already been spoken over her. Because sometimes you can forget those words. Like, how many of you record the words given to you? If you're not, like, guess what? Those words can dissipate really fast. And then you don't get to steward them. So at the same time, like, but that's where you get to trust your walk with the Lord.
So good.
But, yeah.
So good. Okay, so. Oh, no. Oh, no. People behind me. No, yes.
So I heard the word restoration. And then I saw a butterfly. It was like a butterfly that had been in this cocoon for a long time, and all the struggle that the butterfly goes through before it comes out and is a butterfly. But you're the butterfly.
There you go, you have a butterfly. And her back was turned to you, so it couldn't have been that.
the other thing to point out is you guys all each have the same Holy Spirit in you. So what's fun about this is notice how nobody said, I just see you as a bruiser. You're a fighter. Like, it was all in the same spirit, right? And she may be. I'm not saying that word's never, but like what the Holy Spirit's doing now, what you guys are pulling out of out of what God is speaking over her now, there's a harmony to it. Do you see that? And so let this build like a confidence in you as it's also ministering. But here's what we're going to do. We're not going to be satisfied with the one word we get, okay? So if you're not too uncomfortable, you okay with still being a lightning rod? We're just gonna press in again. Press in again, because I want you to see that you can hear God's voice over and over again for the same person. And this is good if you've got a kid, because you need to keep hearing God's voice. It's not just a word. It's over and over again. God, what are you saying about them? God, what are you saying about them? So we're just going to press in again real quick. Who has a word? Just raise your hands high. There you go.
He wants to remind you that you walk in divine authority.
Good. Come on.
I saw a hot air balloon taking off.
Beauty for ashes.
I just feel like the Holy Spirit is bringing fresh, just a cooling and refreshing to your life. That's what I heard.
I just saw this image of Jesus just like patting your bed and just inviting you to lay down and just rest with him and to talk with him at night.
That's good. So good.
I saw like connection to the Holy Spirit, but not just in like one place when you're here, like everywhere, just like the air. It's just kind of like always
charged.
Connected to it.
So good. Yeah, that's good. So good. Over here.
I saw you walking up this incline. It was like stairs carved into the side of this mountain. And it was kind of somewhere deserty. And I saw you like stop, almost to like try to catch your breath. And Yeshua was right there with you. And he was like, no, come on, let's keep going. And you were like, I don't know when these stairs are going to end. And he was like, no, come on, let's keep going. And you got to the top, and there was this, like, giant lake that you got to swim in with him, and just, like, just this refreshing, just washing over you.
So good.
In your line of work, you look at women all the time, and you see their faces, and you fix all of the imperfections, and you make them pretty. And God wants you to see how pretty you are to him. You're beautiful without blemish, without any imperfection, and he wants to take you back to that first initial thought when you knew that he thought you were beautiful.
Gentle in spirit.
It's good, Matt.
I heard Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Okay, so my hand started shaking, and he said, woman at the well, again. Because that's something I think we've talked about before. And then he said, there's always more, and just wave upon wave of grace upon grace.
That's good. Rob in the back. Anybody else? Sharon.
So I saw a geyser that may have laid dormant for a while, but is starting to bubble and about ready to explode.
Emily, I saw you driving a bus, and the destination is Jesus, but the amount of room on the bus is endless, so drive it fast, because there's thousands of souls that need to see Jesus, and he's put you in the driver's seat.
Yeah, there's fire on that.
Emily, I saw you covered or surrounded by, like, curtains, and you felt like you were unseen, but the great reveal is coming, so don't lose heart.
And Emily, I saw leaves on a tree that were gold, and a wind came and began to blow some of them off, and they swirled around and formed a crown on your head.
So good.
You want to share anything?
What?
Like, is any of that, like...
Well, Tim asked me to ask God what he was saying about me, and I just felt like I was hearing crown, and just thought he loves my heart, and... That was really sweet, and yeah.
So I asked her to just hear God's voice for herself, because what is a shame is sometimes we're so good at hearing for one another, but the word actually says that you have to prophesy to the dry bones, like you have to speak over, and so when things feel dry in your life, and it's like, I don't know, man, we've got to just steady ourselves and say, God, what are you saying right now? And then allow that, even in that moment, it's like, God, I don't, let him just speak that word. And just like you would, what we don't do sometimes is we try to then interpret it for ourselves. Yeah. Just let God show you, just like he'd show it for anybody else, and then let him bring that into full view. It's really cool to hear how the word he's saying over you, he's also confirming it with other words. It's so good.
But before you go, I'm going to give you a word, another one, because I want to just show you kind of even a process. I was standing here next to Paula, and I heard 919. My son's birthday. I was like, oh. Then the Lord prompted me, Psalms 91:9. So here you go. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, near your dwelling. For he shall give you his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
So good.
So just good. Don't discount other things. Like, I just want to encourage you, like, just... Again, trust the Lord and just ask him, and he's really good to respond.
So God's doing two things. He's encouraging, he's building you up, he's building others up as you share, but there's also a training that's happening here. And I just want to step out and just say this. It's really important that you guys follow instructions, because what we've done here in just a real short time, not a whole lot, is we've wildly been able to release heaven's thoughts and heaven's words, not by one, not by two, but by might, by dozens they've come out. But it's because you guys not only have heard from God, but you also were obedient to come into alignment with, I mean, God might have given you a whole sermon, but it was like, hey, don't interpret, just give the little bit that you have. And so there's instruction that God will give, especially when it's corporate, or he'll even give you instruction on what to do with that. And it's really important that we don't just get out into our own lane, but we just stay in this place, because what God's doing in you, he wants to confirm as he's doing it in somebody else, as he's doing in somebody else. And so it's so important. It's just so important to just say, okay, this is why. It's not a, you know, that you hear the word submission or what. There's an alignment that the Holy Spirit is constantly doing. And if we have to trust, we have to trust the Holy Spirit in one another. And so it's really important anytime you get invited up into a ministry team that you would listen, incline your ear to the instruction that's been given. Even like you may have done a fire tunnel before and it's like, I know how these go. Stop and listen, because what we don't want to do is take a last Holy Spirit experience into the next thing. That's what Moses got in trouble for, right? I know how to get water out of this rock. It's so easy. But we've got to stop, steady ourselves, listen to the Holy Spirit, and listen to the instruction that the Holy Spirit's been given, so that we can come into alignment, so that, because Jesus wants to do a mighty work in a new way over and over again. Does that make sense? So it's this real, it's not like this, it's this real sweet thing of like, man, I get to step in to the sweetness, and in this, I'm just going to do, and I'm going to do my part, and we're going to be, this is where the body gets to be the body. When not one part exalts itself over the other, but we all just say, I'm going to do the thing that I've been asked to do, that I have a moment for. Is that good? We've got time to do this again.
Did 7395 mean anything to anybody else when I said it earlier? I was really close to her. Okay. So if you run into somebody and your birthday is July 3rd, 1995, you call me and tell me I have a word for them. Okay? It's happened before.
Rob Dort, come up here. Show us that new knee. You know, typically when we would do ministry, we would ask permission, okay? You guys have all signed up to have the Holy Spirit just wreck you because you showed up on a Tuesday night. If you were here on a Sunday morning, you were here at Joy Conference, I might say, Rob, would you mind coming up? But like, you know, now I'm going to ask him, do you mind being a lightning rod? And it's important. What we do is we honor the person that we're with, because the Holy Spirit's never, there's no end to the honor that God's given them. And so you can do that even by the way you touch them. You might just say like, hey, is it okay with you if I touch your shoulder? You just honored them. And look, he's already nodding yes. He's giving permission for what God wants to do. He's desiring. You know, you guys just listen to me before you listen to the Holy Spirit for a second, okay? We're gonna get there. There's times in ministry where we want so bad to see God do something that we don't consider the person and where they're at that we want to, that God wants to see it done in. I've seen this over and over again, where you'll see somebody and you'll see their condition, and your faith to see God do something is so radical that you won't consider the person that God, because God's, I have a little secret for you. God cares about the person, not about the injury. The reason why the wholeness would come when you lay the hands is because he cares about the person, not because he hates injury, not because he loves people. Does that make sense? So when we go after injury and all we see is injury, all we see is that broken leg, all we see is that blindness, whatever it is, and we want to see God do a miracle, and this is our, then we're not considering the person. That person may not be in a place where they're seeking Jesus like that. They may need a prophetic word to open them up to the possibility that God would even do that. And you see, Jesus, if you read the Bible, it will change your approach. Jesus didn't run out and say, you've got to follow me, you've got to follow me, you've got to follow me. Jesus allowed those who were drawn into what he was doing, he allowed them to be a part of it, but he never was amassing his followers more than he was touching their hearts. And so we've got to be faithful to see, man, you see somebody who's injured and you're like, God, how do you want to use me in that? How do you want to use me to honor that person? How do you want to use me to see reconciliation of that person? We can't see you can want to see God do a mighty move, but he's going to do it in the hearts of men first than if you just grab a hold of the broken leg. If you grab a hold of the broken leg, but you haven't touched the heart of that person, there's a good chance that this is where people end up leaving the charismatic faith because, man, I was prayed for a dozen times, but nobody actually touched my heart. Nobody actually considered who I was. They just saw that I didn't pray in tongues, and so they just ravaged me. And it was like, no, time out, stop. God is after the heart of men. And so we have to be, does that make sense? And so we do that. One of the greatest ways we can do that is just by honoring them. Just by showing them the love and the light, and all of a sudden it opens them up, and it's like, faith starts building. Rob's walk on the way up here is like, okay, faith starts building. Back there, he's like, I'm not interested. I don't know. I don't know what your first thought was. But by the time you get up here, now there's a demand on the Holy Spirit that's in you. And it's just in that walk. But if we're not careful, we'll bulldoze people because we want to see miracles. But Jesus didn't say, if you love me, you'll pray for the sick and they'll be healed. He says, if you love me, you'll take care of my sheep. Now, you're a believer. You have the authority to lay hands on the sick. I'm not diminishing anybody's faith in here, am I? I just want you to bring it into alignment with what Jesus is after so that you can do the mighty works that you so desire to see. It's going to happen when we go after the hearts of people, when we honor them, when we go after what God's going after. Amen? So let's just, this is Rob Dort. So you're just going to ask God, what do you have for Rob? Rob, you're just going to ask God, what do you have for me? Thank you, God. And I just challenge you, if you haven't heard anything or you haven't raised your hand, it's a good time to be bold. It's a safe place to fail. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Isn't it funny how it doesn't take 30 minutes? It just takes a moment. It's not 30 minutes of seeking your face. Nobody got on the ground and put their nose in the... Like, it's just, God, what do you have? And he's so faithful to his children. Anybody, how many have a word for Rob? Okay. Just keep your hand up, and we'll just keep going.
I saw you sitting in this field with, like, flowers surrounding you, and Yeshua was making you, like, a flower crown and, like, just, like, a flower bracelet and just adorning you. And he brought to mind the verse in Matthew 6 that says, "Consider the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't they much more valuable to your Father than they?" And I think he just wants to remind you of your purpose in that. But I think there's also like an inviting spirit that's on you too, that you get to lead people to this field and remind them of how much value they have.
So I saw a tennis racket, then a tennis ball, then a tennis court. So I said, "Okay, Lord, why?" And he just showed me just kind of the back and forth of, you know, back and forth of the ball. And he said he just loves to commune with you back and forth. You know, again, it's not just, it's also a receiving and a praying, giving. Yeah. And then at the end, I'm like, "Okay, anything else?" And he's like, "Well, people go crazy over tennis, like Wimbledon." Like, he's like, "That's how I feel about him. He's crazy wow. about you. Like, whoever likes tennis is crazy about tennis." So
that's good. I heard delight, like he delights over you. But then he gave me Zephaniah 3:17, where it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing."
Rob, I saw the most cool thing. You were riding a bronking buck. And you had the hat, the cowboy hat. And you were riding this bronco, and you won. You stayed on him the whole time. And I said, "Why, Lord?" And he said, "Because he's a warrior and he's a champion."
I saw a cloud right over here, and it was raining. And when you came up, it followed you. And only goodness and tender love pursue me all the days of my life. It was his love and mercy that's following you and with blessing.
Okay, so I guess there's this theme, because I saw you as a matador. And your red cape was the blood of Jesus, and the bull was the enemy, and you were ahead of the game all the time because you were surrounded with the blood of Jesus.
I immediately saw a big bunch of red balloons, and you were running with these red balloons until you started to laugh, almost a giggle, like a little boy laugh, and you went up, like the movie Up.
I saw horses that then morphed into a lion.
I just kept hearing the word fun, and I feel like God just loves your, like, fun and light spirit that you have. And I also saw, this might not mean anything, but, like, the letter magnets that you stick on the fridge that kids play with.
Hold up. Does that immediately mean, like, the magnet letters that are on the fridge? You have a lot on your fridge right now? I just think it's so important, and we even practice, I'm going to call you out, okay? But we just practice our speech. It might not mean anything is a self statement. It might mean everything is what the whole, does that make sense? And so we're aligning our confession. Again, your second year, so I probably wouldn't say that to a first year student, but you're aligning your confession with the powerful Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Because this isn't Emily at all. What you're saying, you're stepping into faith with, this is the Holy Spirit inside of me. And so you'd never, if Jesus was up here preaching, you'd never say, "I'm not sure, I'm sure that that's not, no good." You'd be like, "Man, this is noteworthy. This next part is important." there's letters on your fridge, and I just see those letters on your fridge. And who knows, that next week, next month, his grandkids may write something on the fridge, and it's like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. God wanted to draw my attention to that. This could be everything, is more what the Holy Spirit's saying. But we have a tendency to downplay to protect ourselves. But we're not we're being bold. Does that make sense? Thanks for being a lightning rod again.
Rob, right when you walked up there, the Lord showed me that you are faithful, and he wants to know, he sees you as faithful, even when you don't always feel that way yourself.
Amen.
Okay, I wasn't going to say anything, but after you said that, it encouraged me. I don't know, I just kept feeling that, or heard that, that God has given you a dream, a vision of some type of invention or some type of thing that you haven't come to pass yet, but it's coming, and you got something that he's been building in you, and it's been on your heart, and it's on his heart for you to see it come.
So good.
I right away saw a loaf of bread, and he said, I am your sustenance.
I also heard faithful, and that he sees you as faithful. And then I heard the verse, Psalm 42:7, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me.
Rob, I saw your green shirt, and the Lord said, he's a general in the faith. And then I felt like he said, Rob has been faithful to do the things that I've asked him to do, and the Lord is pleased with your obedience.
I feel like the Lord said that I want to give you a new name, and it's purity. And he gave me Psalm 18:20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has repaid me.
Jeremiah 33:3, he says, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets, great and mighty things, even show you and do not that you do not know about things to come.
I just saw honey, and I felt like the Lord gave me Song of Songs 4:11, where he says, your tongue releases milk and honey, for I find the promised land flowing within you.
So good. I got a word for you. Veronica, go ahead. Does anybody feel like they have a word of knowledge, like just straight up numbers that you're like, ooh, should make sure we cover it? Anybody want to step out in there? Okay. Just thought I'd ask. when we were praying, I was like, Rob, Roberts. Anyways, I felt like I was supposed to look up the Welsh Revival. Evan Roberts, one of the leaders of the Welsh Revival. And it says about this about him, and I feel like this is a mantle that you're going to carry. He was a man who had experienced strange things. In his youth, he had seemed to hold the nation in the palm of his hands. He endured strains and underwent great changes of opinion and outlook, but his religious convictions remained firm to the end. I feel like you're carrying this Welsh revival type inside of you. And I feel like there is anointing on your life within the workplace to carry a revival where they've never seen it before.
Come on. You got a word for yourself? Before you get there, did anything stand out to you?
Yeah. I can connect to a lot of things that people said when Paul talked about the bird. I think of the song The Sparrows. I sing that all the time with Corey Asbury, and it's what you were talking about. When Steph was talking about tennis, you know, our son and daughter-in-law met playing tennis in college. There's just a lot of connections to what everyone said that really resonated. I don't know about the cowboy hat, though.
But here's the cool thing is you just have to be obedient to release it. And that cowboy thing may be a word years down the road that he didn't even experience yet. And so it's not for you to filter whether it's for now or later. You just trust God in it. And so, Emily, you heard him correctly. Like, I want to encourage you, like, letters on a fridge, like, that's a very direct word of knowledge. That, like, think about when Jesus gave a word of knowledge, it tells his disciples, hey, go into this town, you're going to find a donkey, and you're going to tell the master, hey, the master needs this donkey. And it says that they went into the town, and it happened just as he said. What you just said to Rob was a direct, accurate word of knowledge about his fridge at home. Like, so don't discount that, because that's amazing. So, well done.
So for myself, and people said this today, but the word that comes to my mind is obedience, and that's what I've tried to press into for the last year or two for sure. But I think about growing up in my youth, and it was the opposite. I was more about myself and playing sports and doing that kind of stuff, and so I'm trying to listen and be obedient. So I would love to get the tape to hear all those words again. She takes care of me.
You got a good wife. We guys give it up for Rob. Hey, I'm just going to give you a few noteworthy things, so grab out your notes. This session one of year two, has been ministry training. It starts off with a healthy leader. You got to commit to your health so that you can be healthy and ready for what you can pour out to others. Ministry only happens in the overflow. And so it's so important to just commit to your health. I just want to give you guys just a few practical, because here's what I believe. I believe this group of people, like, just put your hand on your heart, because the enemy wants to say the other people in the room, but no, God's saying you. This group of people is enough to shift the entire atmosphere. This group of people is enough to establish the kingdom, to destroy the works of the enemy, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This group of people is enough to bring healing to broken bones, to see the blind have sight. This group enough is, this group can illuminate. The idea of Wichita 100 seems so foreign in the world's way of doing things, but I hear God saying this group is enough. And so what we're doing here tonight, it's so easy to sit and watch and hear the enemy say it's for somebody else. God won't use you this way, but he will use you this way. He will use you this way. I love how it started with who needs boldness, and then Andy, I didn't even tell Andy, you know, what we're doing tonight. So I want you to, there's a few just practical tips, because in your going, I want you to just have some express lanes so you don't have to learn these hard lessons, okay? And so there's some of the things that we've learned along the way, some of the things that are in this ministry training manual, which I hope, has anybody read that? Man, it's such good teaching. If you haven't read the ministry training manual, please jump into it, especially before you, like, go to minister at the Joy Conference, because it'll bring you into alignment, and the Holy Spirit will use that alignment. But I want to remind you that we minister from a place of love for love. So you minister out of a place that's received God's love, and you minister that love to others. If they don't get anything else, they don't get their family figured out, they don't get the job situation, if they just experience God's love, that's exactly his heart intention. Everything else is a byproduct. And so everything comes from that place of love. And so I want you to know that when you go into it, somebody might so desperately want the answer for their kids. God's going to use you to minister love. There may be the answer for their family, but it's going to come. So don't get so caught up in what is presented to you. Get caught up in the one who's in you and minister from that place. You're not meant to take somebody's burdens. You're not meant to take somebody's weights. Some of you guys have the gift of empathy, and I'm sorry about that. Some of you guys have that, but you've got to understand that God is, that gift of empathy is just because you're going to take somebody's burdens and you're going to hand them to Jesus. Remember that I think we shared it on a Sunday morning, is we're meant to be conduits. Conduits can't get stuffed up with somebody else's junk or your own junk. You're meant to hand things to Jesus and take things from Jesus and hand them to the world. And you're meant to clear that way. And so when people come to you with this, man, maybe they say the word cancer, it's sickness, but whatever it is, hear their request to God, not to you, and then receive God's love and minister from that place, because healing's going to be coded. There may be something hard to say to them about, hey, I just feel like God's saying this, and I don't know what, that may be hard, but when ministered in God's love, it's so easy to receive. So we're going to minister in God's love. The other thing you need to do is you are righteous. You minister from a place of righteousness, not of anything you've done. This isn't because you prayed up an extra 3 hours today. God can use you when you're weary and worn out. God can use you. Now, there's going to be a preparation statement here in a moment, so I'm not saying not to be prayed up. But I'm saying this isn't about what you've stirred up, what you're doing. This is about the righteousness that's been given to you as a free gift. And what's cool about when you know you're just in the righteousness of Jesus is you get to see others in that righteousness. When you're in self-righteousness, you can't see righteousness on other people because you know how hard you've worked for your righteousness. You're not quite sure about theirs. But when you receive the righteousness of Christ, that's a free gift that you can't earn on your own, all of a sudden you can not only receive that for yourself, but you can see it on everybody. And then probably the biggest thing that you're going to run into is people have been lied to about their righteousness. And so you're going to remind them about their righteousness. You're not going to remind them about it, like their sin is way lower on the list than their righteousness. But God needs somebody who sees their righteousness. And the only way you're going to do that is if you see your righteousness. Does that make sense? So you minister from righteousness to righteousness. Here's a practical tip. You're going to ask permission to lay hands on somebody, okay? Guys with guys, girls with girls. That may seem religious to you. You guys, we have things set up in this church to make sure that you're never in a position where your marriage is going to get destroyed because of your heart for God. There's things set up in this church that are meant to protect you, and it may feel like boundaries, and I'm great with that. Because what I'm never going to do is I don't ever want to have to counsel you on your affair because the enemy used a boundary that was put in the place for you that you went beyond. So we're not going to put people in that position. Do you understand? This is so close to home for me right now. I just got a text yesterday from one of my closest friends for 20 years who's been, and his wife texted me and said, Tim, I'm not sure this is still your number, but if it is, I want you to know that my husband cheated on me and he needs godly men in his life. I would never have expected that text. Matter of fact, I responded with, this is Tim and I'm on it, because I felt like it was spam. And I called my friend, and sure enough, he had been ministering to a girl at work that he had asked his wife, but he had gone beyond these boundaries, and next thing you know, some struggles at home turned into opportunity, and the enemy in moments turned him from a place of, he could preach, and we'd all learn and grow, and in a matter of days, the enemy singled him out, got him away from his crowd, got him away from his pack that he's supposed to be running with, and pounced on him. And now his marriage is, now he's in a fight. He's not ministering to others. He's in a fight for his life. He's in a fight to be the dad to his kids. We're never going to put you in that position. You can judge us and you can be frustrated with us. We will never put you in that position. It's so important that you understand that. This is as spiritual as it gets to me. Because the covenant in your marriage matters. The covenant in your household matters. The covenant in this household matters. And so little things like that that seem like, I'm not sure, maybe I'll just step out. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You'll see me, somebody comes up, and Christy may come up and say, Pastor Tim, will you pray with me? I'm like, yeah, grab Dev. Let's pray. One of you guys might be close, and I'll grab another girl. you guys need to be that for each other. Because there's no, you're going to minister the oracles of God, and the enemy, he can perverse that to make soul ties that are never meant to be there. We're just conduits. There's nothing special about somebody who, we're just conduits, just like the next conduit. But the enemy wants to perverse that. Does that make sense? And so, yeah, I'm going to grab Tiff. I mean, I'm not going to be rude about it. It may take me a moment. Hold on just one sec. And grab somebody close. Walk into you know what? I'd love to pray with you. Let's walk into this room where you know there's a bunch of people. Does that make sense? And if we put these boundaries at church, maybe you'll obey, maybe you'll follow these when you're in the workplace. And so, Rob, you're supposed to change your workplace now. There's a word, right? Katya's never going to walk up and see you sitting in some lady's office, because you're gonna be ministering the oracles of God. And so, you know what's going to happen is your wife's in your workplace. And you're going to say, hey, God's highlighting this girl. You might take her to lunch. That's in your court. That's all I have to do. Does that make sense? When you're ministering to people, I don't know, just got a few more notes, okay? When you're ministering to people and you're laying hands on people, and this is where I said guys with guys, girls with girls, don't ever push them. That may not need to be said. You may want to see them fall out. You may even feel woozy yourself. But here's what happens when you lean on somebody. You may have the greatest intentions, but they start to doubt whether or not the entire thing that they heard from God was from God or from man. And so you want to never be in a place where you're pushing, but always be in a place where you're catching. Okay? So the note should say, never push, always catch. Which is really good for us just to know, like, there's something spiritual in that. We're never going to push, we're always going to catch. Some of the more spiritual things you can do is not be on the front ministering to somebody, but have the person's back who's ministering. You guys should rush to the front. When we're in ministry mode, you guys should be the best catching team on earth. And it's really easy. When you catch somebody, will you come up here real quick? You're pretty big. Catching you might be hard, right? It's not hard at all. Dev, will you just pray with him? You're going to push him. No, don't push him. Real simple. This is catching 101, okay? I'm like trying to get these things in that you guys need to know, because it's going to get a little wild in our church. Because the word is that God can use this, okay? Don't push him. Yeah, ask him permission. Minister from righteousness. You're righteous. You guys see him as right. Okay, all that stuff. Look, you're not going to fall. I'm not going to practice falling. But what I want to show you is it's as simple as you don't have to stand here and get everything. What you're doing is here, and if another person's over here, then you can catch just about anything. And if you're ministering and there's only one person, Dev's got a good idea of what's happening. So guess what Dev gets to do? Dev gets to put his hand on the back. And then guess what? I don't have to lay you down all the way. We don't even have room for that in our church. Just sit down. It's okay. Just sit down. Just sit down. Like, we don't have to have this wild, does that make sense? Just let the gentleness of God be gentle in all of it. I mean, it may be a buck wild thing where everybody falls off. Like, you can't catch everybody. But let's be prepared, and even like, oh, gosh, in our expectation of God, man, Dev's praying with people. That's going to be crazy. I'm going to go catch. Well, nobody's, there's maybe the greatest in the kingdom is the lowest in the kingdom. So maybe the greatest ministry you can do is come catch. And you put your hand on him. It's like, whoa. Does that make sense? Okay. Never push, always catch. Everybody have that written down? If I see anybody pushing in this church, I want to remind you that there's times. Can I give you a little inside knowledge? One of the reasons why almost before every message you'll hear me say, just open up your arms. You guys know what's coming next, right? Is because I want them to declare. I want to break off things so that I can seed things in. So when you say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, when I say it, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. But when everybody says it, even the guy who he's barely listening, he's been brought by his mama and he's sitting there, but all of a sudden he said, Holy, man, the light of God can flood in that place. The enemy is shut down. I'm going to break things off so I can build things up. So there's times where the Holy Spirit's going to say, reveal something to you. You can really gently just break it off. You saw Pastor Kit would like, sometimes he wouldn't even. My wife's calling to say it's time for you guys to go. sometimes he wouldn't even say it to them, but you could see him spiritually be praying, and he would break things off their back because I'm going to build you up. And so there's times where there's things you can just ask the Holy Spirit. Don't do this off at everybody just because you want to get. Just ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything that needs to be broken before you seed in what you want to seed? Because maybe 10 people have prayed in, but nothing is hitting the soil because there's something that's, and a lot of times that's going to be by you just saying, will you just repeat after me? I just feel like there's chains. It's better to say chains than demonic activity in your life. I just feel like there's demons inside of you that I want to deliver. Can we just do a really quick deliverance? Like, no. Can I just break some? There just seems like there's some chains. There's some chains that God wants to loose you from because he's giving you a new freedom. And so you can do this for any age, for any generation, okay? We don't have to get spooky about all this. And then, but it's important to ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything I need to break off? And then what he's never going to, very rarely will he stop there. Because actually, if you look biblically, breaking things off without replacing it with the word of God only leaves people exposed to more chain activity, if you will. So what Jesus taught us, man, we need to replace it with the word, with truth, with your prophetic words. And so if you're going to break things off, you're also going to build them up, okay? You're going to remind them of who they are and who they are, minister righteousness to them. Is this helpful for anybody? You guys are going to be a powerful ministry team. We love in this church to just break things open. Man, I just want to get raw before Jesus. You guys do it all the time. I just want to get raw before Jesus. Just break me open, God. When Leslie Crandall was here, right after a service, I just want to teach you a teaching moment that I got firsthand. Was we had a... Anybody here for that Bethel worship night? She came running up at the end. She's like, whoa, we can't stop. Not because, oh, it's just so tender. It's like, we can't send people home exposed. We've got to seal people with the love of God. It's really important. We love to get like raw, but then we go out and all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, that was good, but that's also like, but God doesn't want you to only feel whole when you're in the house. He wants you to leave the house whole so that everywhere you go, it's yours. And so the responsibility, I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. I'm learning. I'm giving you guys things I'm learning too. It's like, wait, I'm just going to, if you're in charge of a ministry moment where you're breaking people open, and by in charge, I mean like you guys might go crazy one night in the Joy Conference just breaking people open. It's my responsibility to make sure they're sealed up. But if you're praying with people and you're just pulling, Beth in the prayer room is just, man, we're just getting raw before Jesus. This is beautiful. Make sure that you seal them with God's love. You minister the love of God on them. The picture that I get in my head is the picture of the prodigal coming home. And what did the father do? The father wrapped them in his righteousness. Wrapped them in his authority. He greeted him with this love. And so we need to make sure that, well, you guys might say some hard truths. You can even do this out of love. But you need to make sure that you seal them with God's love. Does that make sense? Okay. And maybe I'll stop here. In this, if this is our army, and this is the group we're going to change the world, I'm going to say never come to church when you can avoid it. Never come to church for yourself. Never come to a service for yourself. Never come to revive for yourself. Man, give God margin in your life. Maybe it's the 15 minutes on the drive. Maybe it's the 15 minutes while you're blow-drying your hair. Maybe it's the shower on Sunday mornings is special. Whatever it is, give God opportunity to minister to you so that you come ready to minister to others. If we're going to whisper the oracles of God into one another's ear, you don't have to wait. What I love about the slates is they'll stay on the back, and guess what? Steve's not waiting for me to say, hey, if anybody's got a word, will you just go out and release that? No, because he's in order. There's tons of conversation that's happened along the way, but there's trust that he's like, in the middle of worship, he's like, man, God's highlighting that person to me. Guess what? Most Sundays, that's not the first time that he's asking God, do you have something for somebody? That starts when you get up. That starts when your feet, and it doesn't, and I say service because that's when it'll impact the masses the most, but that can be every day on your way to work, where we quit being surprised that God wants to do something, and we start being expectant before we ever enter the room. If you're going to bring revival, it might start with just the second your feet hit the ground in the morning. You know, you're on your way to like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that. But it's like, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? And I'm going to give you space to speak to me. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Not because I think I know what's going to happen today, but you know what's going to happen today. And he's going to prepare you for that day. So in the notes, I would just say, come prepared. The send, everybody is invited to the day of event, 100,000 people or whatever, however many people. And guess what? There's going to be thousands and thousands of people fill that stadium. It's going to be a beautiful thing. But did you know that some of them are already praying today? They're already fasting today. There's going to be 27 ministry training, just like what Revive is. They're going a week ahead of time to fast, pray, worship, to charge themselves and charge the atmosphere. You can be a part of the 100,000, or you can be a part of the 27. You can be a part. You're invited every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, every single day, no matter where you go, you're invited to be a minister of the Holy Spirit. And so, but will you give him permission to use your moments? Will you give him the margin? And it doesn't, don't hear me, this isn't God might call you into a fast if he does do it, but it's not, I mean, you know what, every Saturday I'm just going to fast. It's like, don't have a good idea, have a God idea. Just give him your margin. You may be a mom and it's like, the idea of listening to worship on the way to church is like, you don't understand what I deal with on the way to church. It's okay. So, what are you doing when you're in the shower? What are you doing the night before? Where can you give him the margin to get you prepared? And I'm telling you, our services, it's going to be hard for me to preach in that environment. Tonight, there's a whole message prepared, but it's like everybody hears the voice of the Holy Spirit and can minister. So we are in a sweet season in our church where there's a stirring up happening. And I say in our church because I'm a pastor, it's in our community. It's not just happening in this church. It's happening in multiple churches. And I believe it's not just happening in multiple churches in Wichita. I believe that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is happening in more ways than ever before. And the church, you're going to see Baptist churches and Catholic churches and all these churches that are just like, I give up. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. But he's certainly welcome here. And so you guys, man, if we get this, if we get past that little voice that says, no, you don't hear, you haven't done enough to hear, and we get into the place where it's like, man, it's like the sand in the, it's like the sand in the sea and the stars in the sky. It's so easy to partner with the Holy Spirit. His yoke is easy, his burden's light. All of a sudden, we're like Care Bears just bouncing around on trampolines, and we're bringing light bursting forth. And it's like, this is what it's all about. I'm no longer in self-condemnation because I realize that maybe I've been struggling with that, but then God still uses me. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he wonderful? Okay, I'm going to get like kicked out of here by the police officer if I don't stop. Kids ministry will never, nobody will ever watch your kids again if I keep going. We're going to end. Can you guys give me 3 more minutes? We're going to get in groups of 4. Okay, and you guys are gonna, we're just gonna pause. I'm gonna say stop. Now go, and you're gonna hear God's voice for the people in that group, and you're just gonna share. Just pick one of the people in your group of 4, maybe somebody that just let and just share prophetic words. Everybody gets to hear God's voice and gets to release it tonight. If this is the first time you've ever participated in something like that, thank you. If this started off with you just saying, God, give me boldness, let that be the same way you start every ministry opportunity. God, just give me boldness. I want to see you move through me. So I'm going to pray for you. Will you guys just stand up? Go ahead and clump. Yes. You guys want to, they are participating with the music. You guys want to jump down and just jump into groups? Guys with guys, girls with guys. Just not one-on-one situations, okay? You guys can be in groups of. Get in groups. Go ahead. Get in groups. Get in groups. You can leave that autopad going. It's awesome. Get in groups. Here we go. We call this clumping. Here we go. There's a group of three over there. There's a group of three over there. Will you guys give it up for the worship team? God, I thank you that you are so easy to partner with. God, I thank you for the righteousness that you give to each one of us, Father God. We just step up and we stand in it, Father God. I thank you that you will use each of us in mighty ways, not just in this house, but in every place that we go, even in the houses of our neighbors. God, I thank you that we give you permission to hear your voice and we will speak the words that you say. Nothing more and nothing less, God. We give you permission to go beyond our understanding and into the place of where it's just you, God. God, I thank you for the testimonies that will come out of tonight. I thank you for the words that were shared, God. I thank you for confirmation. God, I thank you, Father God, that you are powerfully ministering every time we open ourselves up to you. We thank you, Father, for your love. God, I thank you for those who are vulnerable tonight. I thank you for those that just allowed to listen, God. I thank you for those that are still listening right now, Father God. I thank you that they hear your voice powerfully, prophetically, specifically. God, I thank you that you move in power tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So just take a moment. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you haven't picked a person, pick a person. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay, go.